Susan and I stood there, panting, a solid wall to our backs, unsure of what to do next. And then a soft green light began to rise. It intensified slowly, coming from nowhere and everywhere at the same time, and within a few seconds I realized that we weren't in a cave. We were in a hall. A medieval dining hall, to be precise. I was staring at a double row of trestle tables that stretched down the length of the hall, easily better than 100 yards, leaving an open aisle between them. Seated at the table were things. There was a curious similarity among them, though no two of the creatures were the same. They were vaguely humanoid. They wore cloth and leather and armor, all of it inscribed with odd geometric shapes in colors that could only with difficulty be differentiated from black. Some of them were tall and emaciated, some squat and muscular, some medium-sized, and every combination in between. Some of the creatures had huge ears or no ears or odd, saggy chins. None of them carried the beauty of symmetry. Their similarity was in mismatchedness, each individual's body at aesthetic war with itself. One thing was the same. They all had gleaming red eyes, and if ever a gang looked evil, these beings did. They had one other thing in common. They were all armed with knives, swords, axes, and other crueler implements of battle. Susan and I had come in sprinting down the center aisle between the tables. We must have startled our hosts, who reacted only in time to catch the second batch of intruders to come through, and catch them they had. Some of the largest of the beings, easily weighing half a ton themselves, had piled onto the ick and held it, pinned to the earth. Nearby, the mob of vampires were piled more or less together, each one entangled in nets made out of some material that I can only describe as flexible barbed wire. Only Esteban and Esmeralda stood on their feet, back to back, between the ick and the netted minions. There was blood on the floor near them, and two of the native creatures were lying still upon the stone floor.
"Jesus," Susan whispered. "What are those things?"
I swallowed. "I think they're goblins."
"You think?"
"I've never seen one before," I replied, "but they match the descriptions I've heard."
"Shouldn't we be able to handle like a million of them?" I snorted. "You like those movies too, huh?" Her reply was a smile, one touched with sadness.
"Yeah," I said, "I was thinking of you when I saw them too." I shook my head. "And no, this is a case of folklore getting it wrong. These guys are killers. They're sneaky, and they're smart, and they're ruthless, like ninjas from Krypton. Look what they did." Susan stared at the downed Red Quartz strike team for a moment. I watched the wheels turn in her head as she processed what had happened to the vampires and the ick in a handful of seconds, in complete darkness, and in total silence.
"I guess we'd better make nice then, huh?" Susan asked.
She slipped her club around behind her back and put on her old reporter's smile, the one she used to disarm hostile interviewees. And then I had a thought. A horrible, horrible thought. I turned slowly around. I looked at the wall I'd been standing against. And then I looked up. It wasn't a wall, exactly. It was a dais, a big one. Atop it sat a great stone throne. And upon the throne sat a figure in black armor, covered from head to toe. He was huge, 9 feet tall at least, and had a lean, athletic look to him despite the armor. His helm covered his head and veiled his face with darkness, and great, savagely pointed antlers rose up from the helmet, though whether they were adornment or appendage, I couldn't say. Within the visor of that helmet was a pair of steady red eyes, eyes that matched the thousands of others in the hall. He leaned forward, the Lord of the Goblins of Faery, leader of the Wild Hunt, nightmare of story and legend, and peer of the Queen of Air and Darkness, Mab herself.
"Well,
murmured the Earl King.
Well, well, well.
Isn't this interesting?